How many of you were here last weekend when Brandon kicked that off? Raise your hand real high. So, hey guys, I got all sorts of good news. You know what? This morning, did you remember these origami things that Brandon had us do last weekend? How many of you were there? Yeah. So here's the first bit of good news. We are not doing those, all right? So that's the first bit. He loved infuriating all of you. He really did. But he did a fantastic job. I was live streaming that over in Iowa City, and that's the other part of good news. So 2 weeks ago, my precious wife, Ruth, and I shared about Ruth going into surgery to remove a cancerous tumor in her hip. And we want to just praise God because that surgery was very successful. The doctors were able to remove that tumor, and it was entirely successful. And they're telling us that Ruth, the awesome Ruth Steve, is cancer-free. Can we celebrate that? Thanks, God. And guys, words can't express our appreciation for all your prayers, all your kindness, all your words and notes and posts and likes and emails, and it's just overwhelming. And we've heard from people from 12 different countries around the world. We've heard from hundreds and even thousands of people. And so it just is so meaningful to us. The surgery was successful. It was a difficult surgery. It was an 8-hour surgery. I met with the orthopedic surgeon after the surgery was over. He said it was entirely successful. He said it was a very difficult surgery. This guy's world-renowned. This is his specialty. Chondrosarcoma is the type of cancer. And he said, you know, I believe that we have the cancer-free. They did have to remove a portion of her pelvis. So there's some instability there. That's why her rehab is so long, but that to get all that cancer out of there. But I asked him, on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult was the surgery for you? And he said, Quentin, I don't have any surgeries more difficult than this one. It was an 8-hour surgery. It was very, very challenging, but it was very successful. She is still in the hospital, Iowa City. I have been there every single day. I have stayed the night there every single day, except one or two. And so we've had a wonderful time of just bonding and loving one another. But you would be, and I am, so very proud of Ruth. She has such a fantastic attitude about it. Yeah, I wish I could just, you know, I didn't want to, film this while she's going into the. You would have been so proud of her as she's kind of passing by on that, being wheeled into surgery, and there's a few friends there with us, and going past an elevator where there were some just complete strangers, and Ruth kind of as she is wheeled past, she kind of gives a parade a wave and says, "Let's get this show on the road." And after surgery, even though she was in pain and so forth, she has had a tremendous attitude. You know, she has never, it's been 2 weeks now, guys, and she's still in Iowa City, the hospital, and she has never once complained. She has reported a couple of times, here's what's happening, but she's not complained, and actually she's been medically discharged to, medically cleared to leave the hospital and come here back to Des Moines to a skilled nursing facility for a period of time, but they didn't finish the paperwork. So that means you have to spend the weekend. Apparently there was a big game or something and just people cleared out and didn't get the paperwork done. So anyway, and even that she took in good stride. She says, you know, the Lord's will be done. He knows what I need and he's got my back and my hip too. So anyway, God is good. And she's a tremendous woman of faith. And I'm privileged to be her husband. And I appreciate every one of you so much. Thank you. You know, I just got to tell you guys, it's some of the simple things in life just make a difference, you know, and little words and little kindnesses and so forth. It's something I've observed in life, and you probably observe this very same thing. It's often in the very ordinary activities of life that something unusual happens. And forgive me for this ahead of time. You got to throw me a bunch of grace cards, okay? Will you do that? Tell me. Yes, okay. So anyway, it's been a long two weeks. You know, about half of that in ICU and about half of that in the regular room. But you know, we got this video Did I tell you guys I had a grandson? I don't know if I did. We got this video, and it's just the simple, ordinary things that just pick up your day. And maybe if you're going through a hard day yourself today, maybe this will help you. But, you know, Nico is his name, and he just was thrilled with this little pom-pom that someone was shaking in front of him. I wish I had this much joy. Go for it. And you will notice his shirt. Be bold. That was not a setup for this series, but that is what we're talking about today. Bold faith moves. And so today, with that kind of joy, God shows up. You're driving to work, you're going to school, you're eating a meal, you're walking to the mailbox, and something unusual happens where God calls you to a bold faith move. And today I want to talk to you about this. Abraham looked outside to the stars, and God said he would make him into a mighty nation. Moses approached, out tending sheep, approached a bush, and from that bush God spoke to him. Samuel, he's just trying to get some sleep, and he keeps hearing these voices, and he says, "Speak, your servant is listening." Mary, in the New Testament, minding her own business, and an angel appears to her, and Gabriel tells her that she will be the mother of the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is attending a wedding, and there at an ordinary event that happens every weekend, he performs his first miracle. In the same way, God has an extraordinary plan for your ordinary days. And it's very likely that he will call you to a bold step of faith at various points in your life. And why does he do that? He does that so that you will experience more of God's presence and power. So I want to tell you today to begin to anticipate that happening. In our passage today, which Pastor Brandon so masterfully opened last weekend, we're going to look again at the 12 disciples of Jesus doing something very, very, very common to them. They were on the Sea of Galilee, which they had been hundreds, if not thousands, of times before. This was not an unusual circumstance. They are taking a boat trip across the Sea of Galilee, which they had done in countless times before. But something unusual happened on this ordinary day. And today, we're going to build on what Brandon talked about last week, and we're going to kind of build especially toward this bold faith step. So guys, here's what's coming. Over the next, this week and then two more weekends, we're going to be calling all of us to take two bold faith moves. Two bold faith moves. And we're going to be asking you to begin to discern from God what your bold faith moves are. The first bold faith move is in the area of spiritual growth. Just you yourself, how can you grow spiritually in the coming year? The second area is in the area of spiritual influence. How can you influence others with your faith and help them to discover Jesus Christ? So those are the two areas. Today, our focus is on your own personal spiritual growth. So let's talk about that together, all right? And as we do so, let's look at the Sea of Galilee. Here's some pictures of this. Ruth and I have had the privilege of being on the Sea of Galilee, and it's one of the most amazing places in all of Israel to visit. Why? Because most other places are, you know, been developed and changed a lot. The Sea of Galilee, though, is different in that there's very, very little development around the Sea of Galilee. It's pretty much like it was 2,000 years ago. And when you're actually out on the Sea of Galilee, of course, it's the same. It's exactly the same as it was 2,000 years ago. And so it's an amazing moment to be there. I want you to just see these pictures and imagine that you are hearing this story from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14 for the first time. And maybe even today, just close your eyes and listen to me share the story, this historical account. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. And meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus came walking toward them on the sea very early in the morning. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's quite an account that Matthew gives to us. And I want to give you some principles today about taking a bold faith move for your own spiritual growth today. First principle is this: getting to the other side is a journey of faith. Getting to the other side is a journey of faith. And that other side in the Sea of Galilee, and we'll learn about this next weekend, is that that there's going to be more opportunities for the kingdom to expand. They're going to have, by the time they get to the other side, deeper faith and greater impact. And that's where we're headed. We want each of us to have a deeper faith and a greater impact. So how do you get to the other side? Well, it's a journey of faith. It requires us to trust God. Verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. The other side represents that deeper faith, greater impact. My question for you today is, what is the other side that he might be planning for you? What's that other side that he wants you to get to? And to get to that other side will require some spiritual growth on your part and mine. And to grow spiritually, we will need to make some bold faith moves. Verse 23, after dismissing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray well into the night. He was there alone. Very common for Jesus to spend time with his heavenly Father. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. So this is an ordinary thing, but now they're facing some trouble just getting to the other side because the wind is not in their favor. It's against them. On your journey of faith that you take, God is, and the Lord Jesus is going to teach you some things. This whole account is a setup. This is not happening by accident. Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all the universe, who orders every single circumstance you and I will ever face, it is all a setup so that they can grow spiritually. There's not one thing that happens in your life that God has not ordained or permitted to happen. And even if it's bad or difficult or the wind's against you, he can use it for your good and for your growth. I certainly feel that way today. Over the last few months, these are circumstances that Ruth and I would not have chosen. The wind is against us. But God is good. And God is there. And he's teaching me and Ruth things that we wouldn't have learned any other way. Maybe he's getting ready to do something big in your life. Where is the wind against you? Where did you wish you just had the wind at your back and it was just sailing you across with ease and comfort, and it's just not that way? Maybe this is the moment he wants to do something big. Which brings us to our second principle, and that is faith involves overcoming our fears and trusting his voice. Overcoming our fears and trusting his voice. Verse 25, Jesus came toward them walking on the sea. Matthew states it rather matter-of-factly, but it's a crazy miracle very early in the morning. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. Of course they were. I would be too. They see this kind of shadowy gray figure in the mist. And then it becomes a little clearer that it's a person walking on the sea, and they're terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Getting to the other side often requires us to face off our fears, things we are very reluctant to do or to become. Fears sometimes are normal, you know. If a lion suddenly, you know, came into the auditorium, we should all be afraid. That's a dangerous animal. But many of our fears are irrational. We think of things and we just project out all sorts of things that we don't need to worry about, but we do. And Jesus, in the midst of these, speaks up to us and says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. I got your back here. I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. It's an amazing thing. Don't be afraid. It's one of the most common commands. In fact, some people have said it's the most common command in all the Bible. In fact, somebody counted it up and they said there's 366 commands. Do not be afraid. Fear not. One for each day of the year, including a leap year. All right? Disciples are terrified, but now they're ready. They're going to be readied to take a step of faith. And they see Jesus walking on the water, and they're terrified by that. Why? Because they, in their mind, could not imagine that Jesus was able to walk on the water. Yeah, see, they'd seen him do miracles before, but not this one. This is a whole new dimension. So here's the thing, guys. Most of us imagine God to be kind of a greater and grander version of us. He is not. He is nothing like us. He is so much greater and more powerful. And yet he loves us and he took on flesh to be with us, but he has not surrendered his deity. He's Almighty God. What kind of a God is he? He's a kind of God who takes on human flesh, but he can still walk on water. Third principle, getting ready to take the step of faith means I must learn to discern his calling on my life. And just one last word on that, facing off your fears. Your fears, my fears, speak very loudly sometimes. I can say this from experience. And I have to really listen carefully to his voice instead of my fears. Because if I listen to my fears, I'm drowning. But you listen to his voice. And then he says, you have to learn to discern his calling on my life. Well, you get ready to take the step of faith, discern his calling. Peter says, verse 28, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. So note this, and Brandon did a great job of talking about this last weekend. Peter didn't just on his own just kind of jump in the water and say, I'm going to walk on water. No, he wanted to make sure that this was really Jesus, and so he does this. And I want to flesh that out a little bit from what Brandon spoke about last weekend. By the way, I live streamed that from Iowa City. Can we just cheer for Brandon early? He does a fantastic job. That guy, I was so blessed by that message. It was awesome. So at one end, you got, there's a big spectrum here, guys. On the one end, you got fear. And it's just like, I'm afraid, I won't do anything. You're paralyzed by fear. You don't trust God. You're worried. You're overcome by anxieties and so forth. And you never try anything. And you never do anything. And you just live in this kind of your own strength. And that's one end. The other end of the spectrum, way over here, is foolishness. And that is, you cook up all these crazy ideas on your own, think it's God speaking to you, and then you say, I'm going to do this and trust God. And God has never commanded you to do those things. And you just end up doing stupid things. Somebody said this verse should come with, thou shalt not be ridiculous. Don't be dumb. That's a marginal reading. But guys, here's the thing. Every once in a while, it happens all the time, almost every year. Some whacked out preacher gets up and says, hey, I've studied the Bible, and for the first time ever, I've discovered when the end of the world is going to come. And so his followers all gather around him. He says, here's the deal. We're going to dress in white robes and meet in a mountain. And we're going to wait for Jesus. What do all the people who have predicted the time of Jesus' return, all of them have in common? They have all been wrong. So guys, a little pro tip here from your pastor. I've been a pastor for almost 35 years. A little pro tip. If it involves white robes and meeting a wacky preacher on a mountain, be careful. Just don't go there, all right? If it involves snake handling, stay away, okay? You know, okay, so there we go. And sometimes even ungodly things, evil things are done, and they say God told them to do that. There are people all over this planet who do evil, unspeakable acts of cruelty, violence, and terrorism in the name of God. May it never be said of a follower of Jesus that they ever did anything like that. Let's never do that. But we are called to take bold steps of faith and to learn his voice. How do you learn his voice? Let me tell you. First, the word of God. The word of God. Is God speaking in his word? Is it clear? Secondly, the Spirit of God in prayer and worship, we sense in alignment with the Word of God that God is calling us to do things. Thirdly, the people of God, those godly people in your lives that you respect and you know that are good, wise counsel. And lastly, the community of God. What has the church said? What has the church said through the centuries and today? And what are you taught that there's a way of God? All those things lead us to have confidence in what God has said. Now, guys, but we still have to be super careful because people do wacky things and they say, God told me to do it. Okay, so I'm a big baseball fan. And Ruth and I, about a month ago, went to a Minnesota Twins game with some really good friends of ours. And they drove, and we went to the game, and we parked in the parking garage and up at Target Field. And a parking garage is huge, and there's multi-levels and so forth. So I'm a smart guy, right? Right? So what do? I take a picture. I take a picture like this picture. Here we go. And I know where I'm parked. So after the game, I'll be able to find the car. So here's what we do. Just keep it right there. Okay, so here we go. So we get after the game. It's a great game, went to the game, and we start looking for our car. It's this place, and I'm looking for this sign. It's like, where is it? Where's the car? If we're on level three, that's it. Well, let's do this, let's find it. And I'm looking all over, and we're hitting the little remote, and don't hear anything, and we're looking everywhere. We're spending like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Then maybe we're on the wrong level. Let's go up a level. Let's go down a level. Let's go down a street level. Let's enter from this. We're going all over the place. Finally, we hear the car. Beep, horn. And it's like, we made it. All right. But we're on the right level, LL3 type level. But it's like down below. I said, that can't be. That cannot be because I took this picture. So I pulled out my phone and took it out again. And I found out, this is from about a month ago. Actually, this is the picture I should have had. This is from today. So side by side now, yeah, they're pretty close. What is the point of all of this? You can be very confident that what you are doing is right and utterly sincere and be dead wrong. You know what? Because something about it is you've misinterpreted. Something about it you've missed. We need an external source out there guiding us beyond our own consciences and beyond our own feelings. What is that external source? The Word of God. In our case, it was that remote. It only beeps for one car. I hope. Anyway, and this is that Word of God. So we go there. But guys, there's tons of bold steps of faith that you can take, that you can have utter confidence. Let me give you a few examples of bold steps of faith that I guarantee you, because they're so clearly taught in the Word of God. Let me give you a few. First, persevere in your trial. Why do I know that's for real? Because over and over and over again, we're told to persevere, to endure. Hang on, trust God. Here's another one. Admit your sin and your shortcomings. Confess your sins to the Lord. Be open. Confide in good people. Those are all over the scriptures. Here's another one, a bold faith step. Give up your habit that is taking you away from God. Seek counsel. Seek strength. Seek accountability. Seek treatment. Whatever is necessary that's dragging you away from God. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's some other habit. But find help for that. You know that's what God wants you to do. It's so clear in the Word. Trust God in your situation. Don't just trust yourself. Look to Him for strength. Verbalize. Here's another one. Bold faith step. Verbalize your encouragement and your love to other people. We are constantly told to encourage one another, to pray for one another, love one another. There's all these one another's. We know. We don't have to look that up. We know that we should be doing that. So let's take those bold faith steps and do that more. Like you guys have done for us. In our trial, gently resolve perhaps a conflict that God would call you to do and resolve that conflict or seek to the best of your ability to live at peace with everyone. Forgive someone who's hurt or offended you. Seek to restore. Love your enemies. These are all straight out of the Bible. Hold your tongue. Quit arguing about stuff. Quit complaining about stuff. Quit gossiping about stuff. There's a tomb. I think it's in Massachusetts. It's centuries old. Arabella Young was buried there, and she was known as kind of the town gossip. And the epitaph on her tomb was, "Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." She finally stopped gossiping when she was dead. Let that not be your story. So, share your faith in Jesus. These are all things that are so clear from the Word of God. You know they're right. Take that bold step of faith and do that. Third principle. Getting ready to take the step of faith, discern his calling. So we covered that. By the way, discuss these in your life group, because there's fantastic questions this week in your life group. Okay, and before we go on the next point, first step of faith you've got to take, if you never have, is trust in Jesus. The Bible's absolutely clear. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He's laid upon Jesus the punishment that was due our sin. And good news for you, friend, here today. If you have never crossed that line of faith and trusted in Jesus, today, September, in Des Moines, Iowa, you can be forgiven. You can receive eternal life. Wow, is that for real? Yeah. What do you do is you turn in repentance away from those sins and say, I need to trust in Jesus. I'm not going to earn it. I'm going to trust fully in Jesus, and that the penalty he paid on the cross is sufficient to forgive me of my sins. And in faith, you trust in him completely and wholly. You can do that today. Your first bold faith step has to be to trust in Jesus Christ. And today may be the very day that God is calling you. If you never have, I plead with you, trust in Jesus Christ today. And maybe even at the end of this service, there'll be some people praying on either side. If you just want to talk to somebody about anything we talked about today, come on up. We'll pray with you. We'll maybe have somebody else you'd like us to pray for. Please come and we'll pray together. All right. Fourth principle. Are you willing now to take a bold step of faith to grow in your faith? Finally, verse 29, and climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. He actually did it. No mortal man has ever done this before, save Jesus and now Peter. And I wonder if we could just interview Peter, if we could have him on stage and just say, what was that like to walk on the water? I don't know what he'd say. Maybe it'd be something like this. Guys, I was just terrified. I was like, I can't do this. Is this possible? But Jesus called me, so I'm going to do it. And it was amazing. It was the most amazing thing you can imagine. Peter, was walking on the surface of the water. It blew my mind. John Ortberg, great pastor and author in California, has written an entire book on this account in Matthew's gospel, an entire book. The title of the book is, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. Folks, that is the law of physics. You cannot walk on water if you stay in your boat. Now, Pastor Brandon told us last week the boat isn't a bad place. It's not evil, sinful, and so forth. In fact, sometimes Jesus says, get in the boat. Let's go. But there are times when he calls us out of the comfort of the boat, which I prefer, and he says, step out of the boat. Take a bold faith move. Do something that's not you're accustomed to, or something that you've been delaying or waiting on or pushing back on. Then he calls us to step out. And it seems terrifying to us, but he calls us to step out. So what is that boat? What is your boat, that comfortable things that you're afraid of going to the next level? Fear is the price of growth. I mean, we got to face off our fears. Guys, I want to reassure you, a lot of these things are like, taking these bold steps of faith are like, kind of like learning to drive a car. How many of you know how to drive a car, all right? Raise your hand. How many of you are good drivers? Okay, yeah, some of you. Okay, how many of you think the person sitting next to you is a good driver? No, just don't even. Okay, all right. So here's the thing. I drive every day. It's not hard. I just get in the car. Rewind back to age 15. I'm behind the wheel of a car for the first time. It's absolutely terrifying. And I've got this driver's ed instructor or whatever. And I have to slowly learn all the little things and sweat and terrifying and so forth. And first, what do? I become comfortable inside the car. Then I put it into drive, and I drive around a parking lot. And at some point, I become parking lot safe, certified. He can do the parking lot without killing himself or other people. Eventually, I graduate from the parking lot to go out into the open road. Usually a very unbusy road, you know, and then you graduate to the busier road and the faster speeds, and then finally you get on the interstate and you're taking exits and going through diamond loops and all this kind of stuff. And then, lo and behold, not too much later, you find yourself and you can drive to San Antonio, Texas. And that's amazing. And it didn't really take that long for me to be absolutely terrified behind the wheel of a car to be able to drive hundreds, if not thousands of miles. And now I do it every day and think nothing of it. The first few steps, that's when it's really terrifying. So that's the hardest ones. And that's where we're gonna, God is gently pushing you to say, take that first bold faith move. Guys, I grew up going to church. I was in church as a young boy 6 times a week. Monday through Friday, I went to church before school. And then on Saturday, I did not go to church. And on Sunday, I went to church. I viewed the Christian life, honestly, as pretty run-of-the-mill and actually quite boring. It was only until I was 18, when I became 18 years old, that I really understood this whole thing. And I really came to personal faith in Jesus. And suddenly, this whole boring thing became an adventure. It's like, this is amazing. I'm doing stuff I could never have dreamed of doing. I didn't think I would be caring about people or loving people or doing this or doing that or taking this step of faith. I couldn't believe it. And now it's this adventure, and there's new adventures. And I've been walking with Jesus all these years, 40 years. And I'm still learning new adventures. So it's not boring. It's terrifying at times, but it's thrilling. He'll call you to forgive someone. He'll call you to give sacrificially. He'll call you to volunteer to serve. He'll call you to speak up. I don't know what he'll call you to do, but it's going to be a bold faith move to grow spiritually. Let me give you, okay, if you could do me a favor. Everybody take out their worship folder and take this out and fold it out. And the community cards at the very bottom. At the very bottom of that is a little square, okay? See the lower right-hand corner is a square. Got it? All right? And in the bottom of that square, I'm going to invite you today just to get started on this. I'm going to give you a number that you want to write down. Actually, you're going to choose the number. And it's going to be a number from 1 to 9, all right? And you're just getting started. You're not making a commitment. We'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks. But I just want you to get started. What area of life do you think God might be calling you to take a bold faith move? And I want you to choose just one of these. I'm going to give you 9, all right? Here we go. The first one, area, is maybe God's calling you to take a bold faith move in the area of spiritual practices and opportunities. What do I mean by that? Some of you've never really had any kind of daily time with God, or maybe you've never read the Bible before, or maybe you've never read the Bible all the way through, and you said, this is the year, that's what I want to do. Or maybe there's an opportunity out there to grow spiritually, to take a course, or to jump into an opportunity the church is offering. Maybe it's the Good for All Conference, I don't know, but it's something that is going to challenge you, a step of faith you wouldn't ordinarily take, and you said, this is the year that I jump on that spiritual practice and opportunity. Another one is to worship with God's people. Folks, I'm just going to speak very bluntly here. The culture has assaulted weekend worship so much. The culture does not care if you're here on the weekend. And I know that I am preaching to the choir here, right? You're here, all right? So God bless you all. But I want to tell you, consistency in just showing up on the weekends, either Saturday night or Sunday morning, is going to do a world of good for you. And maybe for some of you, this is the year we get consistent. And not just me, but if God's given us a family, we're going to be consistent in a family, and we're going to be here. And if we're on the road, we're going to find somewhere when we can feed our family spiritually. And because the culture doesn't care, and I know there's ball games and ballet practices and drama things and so forth. Here's the thing, guys. These weekly deals that we do, these worship services and time of the word together, these are our practices, right? The rest of the week is the game. But if your team had a practice once a week and you made it half the time, how good would you be? How good would your team be? You can't miss half the practices and expect to be growing. So that's what I'm saying. This is a big commitment. And I love it if some folks, and again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but just make that commitment. It would transform everything. Thirdly, Christian community. Maybe this is year you find a small group, or if you're in student ministries, you get more involved, or maybe join a life group, or whatever it might be, or find something where you're going to connect more with this community of faith called Valley Church. Fourth is relationships, friendships, family. Maybe God's speaking to you and it's like, this relationship over here is a disaster. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's some other relationship or friendship or whatever. And it's like, this year I need to make some bold faith moves. Write down number four in that box. And you can write a sentence next to it if you'd like to. You don't have to. Spiritual leadership. It's like, number five, it's like, okay, God seems to be calling me to do something more with my abilities and gifts. Maybe it's just to lead my family spiritually better. Maybe it's to volunteer to lead a group, a small group over here, or volunteer to serve with kids or I don't know, some way where you're stepping up to the next level where you're actually taking some lead, all right? And that's number five. Number six, first fruits and generosity. Here's where we say, take that scary, scary, bold faith move where you set aside a sum of your income ahead of time and say, that belongs to the Lord. And maybe he'll even grow you in that area. Folks, I know this is a scary area. I honestly know a lot of people who would rather donate their kidney than give first fruits to the Lord. I'm not making that up. They honestly would rather do that than give their first fruits to the Lord. I know it's scary. There's millions of people, and for centuries, millions of people have done this, and God's been there for them. He's got their back. Number seven, character growth. Maybe there's an area of weakness. Maybe there's a habit over here, or maybe there's just an area that you like, hey, I'd really like to become more patient, or I'd like to become more joyful, and there's something that God is speaking to you today about that character growth. That's number seven. Eight, crossing boundaries. Here's where, you know, I need to cross some boundaries to meet and befriend some people who are different than I am. Maybe it's socioeconomic or ethnically or racially, whatever it might be, those boundaries where I'm taking a bold step of faith to connect more with people that aren't like me. And then number nine is volunteering or serving. It's like, you know, I've been kind of more participating in worship, or maybe I go to a life group, but I'm not really serving with my abilities and gifts. And I'd like this year to be the year that I jump in and take on a role where I can serve. Any of those are great. Just pick one of them and say, that's the one. And then we're just going to have you pray about that for a week or two. And then we'll land in a couple of weeks and say, this is the one. But I would love to hear from some of you. Put down a number, maybe a sentence if you like. Just put down a number, your name, and then turn that in the offering today. It'd be fantastic. Okay. By the way, I am not trying to add things to your calendar, but I am telling you that this may take some reprioritization of your calendar and your clock. But this culture will not give you, they have other things planned for you. You will have to take control of your life. I'm not trying to add stuff to your life, but you're going to have to take control and say, okay, this is a priority now. That means lesser priorities have to fall away. Number five, common phases in a bold step of faith. First, getting out of the boat. Then there's the exhilaration of, wow, this is amazing. And then they're seeing the wind or the strength of the wind. It's like, this is terrifying. This is really scary, and then crying out in faith. Look at it in verse 29. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Now, a lot of us really rag on Peter at this point. Why didn't he just trust in Jesus? Well, I don't see any of us out walking on water. And there was 11 other boat potatoes just watching. You know, it's like, oh, that's great. Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Let's rewind that. Let's watch that again. Wow, that was amazing. No, he's out in the boat. So yeah, people that take bold steps of faith, this is normal. Good for you. You get afraid. You have to cry out sometimes. Good for you. That's okay. In number six, in the journey of faith, Jesus gives us reassurance and challenge. Verse 31. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. There's the reassurance. I got you. But then there's a challenge. Oh, you have little faith. Why'd you doubt? He's not scolding him here. He's like, I did a zip line once. I didn't really want to, but my 10-year-old daughter had done it in front of me and I was embarrassed, okay? So it's like, I have to do it now. She's humiliated me into it. So I'm scared. I'm up on this pole like 30 feet in the air, and the guy up there is like, you'll be fine. I've done this hundreds of times. It's gonna be, you gotta go, you gotta, dude. And so I did it. And you know, I made it. It was great. And it was kind of an exhilaration. I haven't done it since, but anyway, you get the idea. But the point of all that is that he knows. He knows. And so it's like, it'll be okay. That's what Jesus is saying. You have little faith, why'd you doubt? It's okay. You're gonna be fine. Just trust me. We are fear-controlled, comfort-loving people. And this has become more prominent in our culture recently. Security and safety concerns are over the top. Here's a brief clip from Bob Goff, and he'll be here at 11 days, Lord willing. And he just talked about how his dad, he meant well, but it really made him afraid to try, you know, bold steps of faith. Check it out.
My dad told me when I was growing up that what rattlesnakes do is they get on the other side of these logs. And so when you step on top of the log, you got to step way out because the rattlesnake will bite you on the heel. Otherwise, I'm 59 years old. I've never seen a rattlesnake. Every single log that I get on top, I step 3 feet out because I think a snake's going to bite me. My dad was trying to express love, but what he did by mistake is instill fear. Mm-hmm. And so as leaders, sometimes we're trying to express love towards people by giving them words of correction. What we're actually doing is instilling fear. And then you ask why they act in peculiar ways, because you've scared them to death. They think there's a snake under every rock because you unloaded on them because you're just insecure. So there's these beautiful words like, I'm sorry. That was old Bob. I keep trying to put him on the bus. He keeps showing up on my doorstep. And so to say, that was actually, I'm not making an excuse. I'm giving you a return address. And the man I want to be is a guy that would encourage you about what you just did that rocked. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why.
That's so good.
So we take those bold steps of faith, and he gives us a reassurance. I've got you. But he's also going to challenge you. It's okay. You can do this. Take a step of faith. Number seven, and finally, our greatest need realized when we take these bold steps of faith is that we get a whole new vision of God. We get a whole new vision of God. When I was in the fifth grade at Our Lady of the Greenwood School in Indianapolis, Indiana, we played football at recess. Oh, those were the days. And guys, I wasn't very big. I was like a beanpole, so I didn't get picked first. But I was fast, so it's kind of like middle of the road, right? But there was one young man in the fifth grade who always got picked first. His name was John Cale. John Cale. And John Cale had a nickname. His nickname was Cale the Whale. Cale the Whale. This was not an insult. This was not a put down. A whale, my friends, can destroy you. A whale, my friends, can kill you. A whale, my friends, can swallow you alive. And John Cale was a college student body in a fifth grade boy. I mean, he's just massive. And he was just, and if you got Cale on your team, here was the play. Give it to Cale. Or the other play, pass it to Cale. Those were the two plays. And Cale would get it, and he would just physically just drag the rest of the fifth grade over the goal line every time. He was so powerful and so strong. John Cale the Whale was amazing. And here's the thing, guys. You just trust the guy who's way bigger than you are. Verse 32. And they climbed into the boat, and the wind died down, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you're the Son of God. You're way bigger than we are. The wind died down. This account has never been about the wind, or the boat, or the sea, or the storm, or the water, or even about Peter. Those aren't the ultimate things that God wants us to learn. The main thing we need to get is this. Jesus Christ is amazing. He is great. He has tremendous power and authority. He has been sent by God. He is completely trustworthy. And I can go through anything in this life and trust him in it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is my greatest need, to realize and to find out that Jesus is big enough. But all this got set up on a very ordinary little boat ride across the Sea of Galilee. And perhaps today the wind is against you, and Jesus comes walking to you, calling you to step out of your boat into the storm. Look again to those nine areas. Maybe there's one of them that stands out to you on the Sea of Galilee. You can play it safe, and Greg LaVoie, author, says you'll just suffer from the common cold of the soul. Sinful patterns of behavior that never get confronted and changed, abilities and gifts that never get cultivated and deployed until weeks become months and months turn into years. And then one day you're looking back on a life of deep, intimate, gut-wrenchingly honest conversations you never had. Great, bold prayers you never prayed. Exhilarating risks you never took. Sacrificial gifts you never gave. Lives you never touched, and you're sitting in a recliner with a shriveled soul and forgotten dreams, and you realize there's a world of desperate need and a great God out there calling you to be part of something bigger than yourself. You see the person you could have become but did not. You never followed your calling. You never got out of your boat. But maybe today you say, well, maybe God is calling me. The Lord Jesus is passing by, and he says, come. Maybe now you haven't been out of the boat for a very long time, but today he says, come out of that boat. And here's the amazing. If you get out of that boat, two things are going to happen. The first is that when you fail, and sometimes you will fail, Jesus will be there to catch you. And you'll find him, he is wholly adequate to save you. And the other thing that will happen to you is this. Every great once in a while, you will walk on water. Lord Jesus, help us to be those water walkers. Help us to be the ones who are willing to take bold steps of faith to face off our fears. Thank you for a woman at the University of Iowa Hospital who is teaching me about trusting you. And together, we're saying, Jesus, you're big enough. You're an awesome God, and we love you. And I pray that today you would encourage every single person here today that you're big enough and that you call us to come out of the boat and walk to you. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Amen.